Madhava Kunya Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Gopi jana vallava Giri varadhari Gopi jana vallava Giri varadhari Yasoda Nandana Praja Jana Nandana Yasoda Nandana Praja Jana Nandana Jamunatira Panachari Jamunatira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna
Hare Krishna
Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Read a very special section. We will read in a very special section of the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's the 10th canto, 80th chapter, text 3. I would appreciate if one of you can organize the book for me, or you know, one of these mobile things, you know, this. You must know, in one sense, the whole Bhagavatam is already finished with chapter 79, because by now, by chapter 79, Krishna has fulfilled his mission, why he came to this world. He has protected the pious people, he has established the principles of religion, and he has also killed all the demons. You remember, at the beginning of the Bhagavatam, we find that Mother Earth, in the form of a cow, approaches Lord Brahma. She has a terrible problem. Her surface is overruled with military, highly armed and demonic armies who create an intolerable situation for her and plunder the citizens and her resources. So she came to to Lord Brahma and said, "What could be done, my Lord? Can you please help me?" And Brahma says, "I am myself not able to remove your burden. However, the Lord is." So he then calls together all the devatas, all the powerful entities or rulers of the universe, and in one procession they go to the place where the Lord can be found in this world. Who knows this planet? Svetadvip, I hear you saying, yes? In the milk ocean, there he lies and is served by Lakshmi. He's on a multi-headed snake, and yes. So they all come to the shore and they begin to sing the Purusha Shukta prayer. And then they request the Lord, "Please kindly appear and help me. Help me remove my burden. Help me." And so that is the purpose of Lord Krishna's advent. Soon Jamashtami comes, and I think most of you are well known with the narration. Now all the demons are killed in chapter 79. However, the last 11 chapters are very important. It starts in chapter 80 with Parikshit Maharaj. He just can't stop hearing the beautiful narrations about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Shukadev then again begins to speak these last 11 chapters, which are almost like a summary of the whole work. And they illustrate in various ways the real secret of bhakti, and that is that Krishna can be conquered and attracted by devotion in the heart, by bhakti. And we will hear today one of the stories which will convince us. I chose this because I remember whenever I sit in Zurich, I look right into this picture here, right before me. Please turn around here. You see how Krishna is embracing a soul who has returned back to him, who had developed strong first-class bhakti, and therefore Krishna became so eager to see him that when finally he returns, Krishna faints and cries. So Krishna himself can be conquered by bhakti, and today we will actually hear some proof, and I hope this will convince you all to develop first-class bhakti in your heart and make your life perfect. That is the purpose of this lecture. Is this a good purpose, Krishna Premarupa? It's a good project. So, you are all with me?
Yes.
Good. So, let us chant now this third verse.
Savak jayatasya gunan grinite. Savak jayatasya gunan grinite. Karo chatat karma karo manascha. Karo chatat karma karo manascha. Smaret vasantam stira jangameshu.
Smaret vasantam stira jangameshu.
Shrinoti tat punya katasakana.
Shrinoti tat punya katasakana.
Savak jayatasya gunan grinite. Karo chatat karma karo manascha.
Karo chatat karma karo manascha.
Smaret vasantam stira jangameshu.
Smaret vasantam stira jangameshu.
Shrinoti tat punya katasakana. Yes, someone else, please.
Savagyayatasya gunam grinite.
Karo chatat karma karo
manascha.
Smaret vasantam stira jangameshu.
Smaret vasantam stira jangameshu.
Shrinoti tat punya katasakana.
Shrinoti tat punya katasakana.
Thank you. Can we also have one Vaishnavi, please? Yes. So, sa, that is vak, power of speech, jaya, by which tasya, his gunan, qualities, gninite, one describes karor, pair of hands, cha, and tat, his karma, work, karo, doing, manaha, mind, cha, and smaret, remembers, vasantam, dwelling, stira, with the unmoving, jangameshu, and moving, shinoti, hears, tat, his, punya, sanctifying, kataha, topics, saha, that is, kanaha, an ear. Good. So, Shukadev Goswami had finished. It was all over, the Bhagavatam. But then Parikshit said, oh my Lord, I wish to hear about other valorous deeds performed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Mukunda, whose valor is unlimited. It's almost as if after a musical concert, the audience
shouts, more, more, more. And so Parikshit wants to hear these other wonderful deeds. And then he makes a beautiful point. He describes to us what is real life, what we should talk about, what we should think about, what we should do with our bodies, and so on. It's really nice. If you want to have a real, authentic life, this is something for you, this text. Actual speech, not false speech, actual speech is that which describes the qualities of the Lord. Real hands, not false hands, real hands, are those that work for Him. A true mind is that which always remembers Him, dwelling within everything moving and non-moving. And actual ears are those that listen to sanctifying topics about Him. So, in other places of the Bhagavatam, this message is repeated, that material life is only a dream. The secret message, one verse says in the fourth canto of the entire Vedic scriptures, is that this material life is only a dream. So when you step out of the dream and you do the real life, my dear devotees, then you speak about Krishna. You actually think about Him always, how He is everywhere really, and how everything is moved by Him, and your hands are engaged in His service, your ears are also engaged in hearing about Him. So there's a little purport. While continuing from the previous verse, to glorify the sense of hearing dedicated to the Lord, King Parikshit now mentions the other senses also, that so that we gain a complete picture of Krishna consciousness. Here he declares that without any connection to Krishna, the Supreme Lord, all the organs of the body become useless. Oh, a similar statement is made by Shonaka Rishi in the second canto, third chapter, verses 20 to 24. You remember this chapter, that the eyes which don't see Krishna are like the eyes printed on the feathers of a peacock, really dead, you know. The head which doesn't bow down to the Lord, I think, is the head of a corpse, a dead man. You know, it's really, he's really getting into it. And he compares really the real life, or the material life with all types of things that are really dead. It doesn't make sense. So Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur mentions that the senses should work together in Krishna consciousness. In other words, whatever the eyes or the ears experience, the mind should simply remember Krishna, who is within all things. It's a nice point, no? When you see something in the world, like you might see the tram when you move out of the temple, when you go into the town, you see people moving about on the streets. When you continue to drive, you see the fields and so on. Your senses, your outer senses and your inner sense should cooperate. The mind should immediately remember Krishna in the people, his heart, and when he sees the fields, he will remember, oh, Krishna is the seed giving father of all, of everything, you know. And in this way, there's cooperation between the mind and the senses. And in this way, you also enliven the senses. It's a beautiful text. It continues, the theme continues in text 4, where it says what the head is supposed to do, what the eyes are supposed to do, and so on. And if you like, this is really something you want to read in your private reading time. It's very beautiful, very poetic, very, very real somehow or other. So, Shukadev hears how eager Parikshit Maharaj is, and he now begins to think, well, he wants to hear more about Krishna. There are so many pastimes, but let me start with the pastime where Krishna himself establishes a very important point, that is, to know him, one has to approach a bona fide spiritual master. And also in this story, in this pastime, my pastime which I tell is about this, but it also shows how much Krishna loves his devotees. So then he goes into his narration. Let us offer our obeisances to Prabhupada, and then we will start right there. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Viti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paskajade Satarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadhara Vivasari Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. On my journey here to Switzerland, I was asked by three very qualified individuals if I thought it's good if they move in the temple. And I gave my answer to all these individuals and remembered this particular pastime where Krishna shows how important it is that we learn under the care of the guru, in our case Srila Prabhupada, because Krishna himself went to the Guru Kula, the place where he was trained by an bona fide spiritual master. He himself, who is the origin of all knowledge, wanted to show that if you wish to really get spiritual knowledge, it's good to go into this training period. And for that, the temple is ideal. It's a place where we hear every morning a class, and where we are serving. Our life is dedicated to seva. Therefore, I said to these, yes, at least for some time. You never know. Maybe you wish to later marry and raise a family. But at least for some time, it is recommended. The Lord himself teaches by his example. There is a beautiful verse where Krishna speaks how important he feels it is to go to a training period in life. Naham icha prajati byang taposo pashamenava tusyeham sarva bhutatma guru shrushrushayayata. Krishna says, it's his own words, I, the soul of all beings, am not really satisfied by ritual worship, brahminical initiation, penances, or self-discipline. I'm more satisfied by faithful service rendered to one's spiritual master. Krishna says here, says Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, the guru who teaches about me is most worthy of being faithfully served, even though I am the soul of all beings. Sarvabhutanam. I'm not as satisfied by ritual worship, Brahminical initiation, penances, or self-discipline as I am by faithful service rendered to one's spiritual master. And Krishna wanted to show by example. After he had killed the demoniac King Kamsa, Vasudev wanted him to get a real education. Vasudev thought, my boy was in Vrindavan and there he was herding cows, but he is royalty, he is of royal this, and he's more than just a cow herder, but for that he needs to be trained. He must get an education. And he spoke with Krishna about it. Son, I really think you must get an education. You know, saying hey to the cows, that means go left, as far as I remember. Do you know little hey and haha, and what you need to herd the cows, but it's not enough. You Kshatriya should learn, you know, what Kshatriyas need to know. When Krishna had heard the request of Vasudev, he thought, yeah, but I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Who will teach the Supreme Personality of Godhead anything? Certainly not a devotee of Vishnu, a Vaishnava guru. Krishna said, how can I? So, I can't go to someone like Vyasadeva who would recognize me and who would feel not able to teach, you know. It's almost like if Bhakti Charu Maharaj comes and says to Uddhava, Uddhava, can you teach me the Vedic scriptures? Uddhava would say, no, Maharaj, it is not my position to teach. Like that we feel naturally. So, someone like Vyasadeva could not teach me. Then he had an idea. It must be a Shiva Bhakta who teaches me. He may not recognize me. So why don't Krishna, why don't Balaram and me go, not go to Ujjain? This is today Ujjain, what was called in old times Avanti. And there lives the noble soul Sandipani Muni, and we will learn from him only. So that was agreed. And Krishna, Balaram now knew they would be brahmacharis. And brahmacharis are supposed to live a little austere, not so comfortable. No? So they thought, we will not go by vehicle, we will go from Mathura by feet to Avanti, because we have taken the vow of brahmacharya. So, in this way, Krishna Balaram went for 7 days. It was really quite a journey. On their feet, without any bullock cart or anything, from Mathura to Avanti. Those who saw them had an interesting realization. When people saw Balaram, they thought, this is the highest of all lights. Can you imagine why they compared Balaram with a walking light?
He is white,
yes. And when they saw Krishna, they thought, this is the highest beauty. There is no doubt.
He is so beautiful. Especially the ladies talked about, oh, so beautiful. But Krishna closed his ears. He didn't want to hear the ladies talking like this about him, because now he was a brahmachari. When a brahmachari hears ladies talking about, look at this muscular man, you know, they will go, oh, and they run away. So Krishna gave that example, and he looked shyly on the ground. Finally, they came with Sandi Muni. The Bhagavatam said they felt strong devotion in their hearts. They had brought firewood in their hands, because Sandipani Muni maintained akanda fire, yakic fire, which would not extinguish. Have you heard that in the temple of Radha Raman, the flame is 500 years old? Have you heard? It's the same fire which was lit, and again it is nourished so that it does not die. There are many saints and sadhus who keep fires with them who are 700 years old or so, because the Bhagavatam says the Lord can be worshipped within fire also. Mm-hmm. Therefore, some like to have candles. That is because that is the idea. Krishna can be seen there. So they needed to give their introduction. When Sandipani Muni was there, he talked with some saints in his ashram. All of a sudden he sees Krishna Balaram entering, and they stop the discussion. And they just, wow, my God, who is this? Sandipani Muni turns to some people and says, I saw this one boy, the black one, and one thing I can tell without ever having heard him speak, he had a mother who just loved him so much. That's why I can see it in the way he walks. In this way, the Bhagavatam glorifies indirectly Mother Yashoda. So they approached him and they said, "Oh, professor of all opulences, born in a high family." Krishna Balaram said to Sandipani Muni, "Deliver us from the suffering of the material existence." This is very telling, actually. If you read in various Vaishnava scriptures, whenever someone who wants to become a disciple approaches his spiritual master, he has a reason why he wants to go to. He said, "Please deliver me from the suffering of material existence." Sometimes they say the snake of time. You know, all this means I can't get out of Maya myself. I need instructions. So Sandipani Muni answered, "Yes, I will keep you here and teach you. But first of all, you must give up your identity of being a Kshatriya. You must learn to beg by going out with the Brahmanas." This is the very first instruction of the Guru to the disciples: give up your false ego. Yeah, the false sense of identity. I'm the body, you know. False ego for the Hare Krishna Hare Ramas is almost a polemic word, and it means the false identity. This is the problem, my dear devotees. We think we are man, a woman, a German, a Swiss person, you know, and this is not good for us.
We can't move if we have the anchor in material consciousness. And therefore, I think we all know sometimes the guru will smash our ego. And it pains when we are still attached to our false ego. It pains. I remember, Prabhupada could be. Sadhu means he cuts illusion, has to do. So, then Krishna Balaram, they agreed, yes, we will go begging, like we go out with the brahmanas, kshatriyas never beg. They take the sword, give me what I need. Brahmanas go, Bhikshudeha, give me alms. No, it's a different approach. So Sandipani Muni turned again around to the other people. He was very perceptive. Just see what an individual he was. He said, by their bodily constitution, the way their arms, the shoulders, everything they are formed, I can also see they ate a lot of soft butter. Yes, Krishna. What is his name? One of the names? Makhan Chor. He steals the butter and eats it. And it leaves beautiful yellow spots on his blackish form, so Sandipani Muni said, I can see. He was, in other words, already thinking, what are they? What I want to know their secret. But so he finds out loving mother and soft butter. That's the first two things he understands when looking at them. Yes. So he decided to therefore not give them any heavy work in the ashram. Begging is not so heavy. So Krishna went out with Balaram every day to the houses of the people in Avanti. And do you know what happened? A phenomena. The people wanted to give everything to Krishna and Balaram. Normally, when you go begging, it's a one chapati, two chapatis, you know. No, but they gave everything, and they gave from the house. No, take me. This is a yes, to take. And they gave everything. Krishna Balaram came home with various ox carts filled with items, vases, plates, you know, everything was, because people loved them so much. This is described in our Shastra. When a soul sees the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there's only one question which is there. How can I serve you? Because that's the natural constitution of the soul, to be a servant of Krishna. No? And therefore, all the Avanti Puris, they just emptied out their households, you know, without really knowing that this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You don't need to know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You need to love him. That's the idea. Not by knowing him you understand him. By love you understand him. And just having the personal darshan of Krishna Balaram. I think we all imagine, and don't even imagine, it is unimaginable when we see Krishna before us. So the traditional, this is all Jiva Goswami, what you hear, Gopal Champu, traditional way of a brahmachari who goes begging is when the wife of the house opens, he will address her as, O mother, please give me alms. This is how a brahmachari sees all ladies as mothers. No, you have heard in your brahmachari education that address takes care that there is no unnecessary attraction to the mother. This is not possible, to feel that attraction a man feels to a woman. Therefore, the Brahmachari addresses all the women in traditional language as mother, but Krishna didn't do it. Because whenever Krishna said Ma, he began to cry, remembering Yashoda in Vrindavan, who cried for him. So he did not say the traditional, oh mother, give me arms. He just said, give me arms, because he didn't want to cry so much. No. He's remembered. Yes. So one day, the wife of Sandipani Muni asked her exalted husband, who amongst all those whom you are training in your Gurukul are your favorite loving servants? Sandipani Muni answered, these two Kshatriya boys. And the wife said, why? I never see them doing any very strenuous work, because you had said they should not be engaged in hard labor. Sandipani said, because of their service spirit. Burijan Prabhu, the year when he could still travel, went to the ashram of he was a guest of Bhakti Charu Maharaj, and he took some Ayurvedic treatment also, and he then went to the ashram where Krishna went to learn from Sandipani Muni. And there's a beautiful Gomati Kund in the ashram which Krishna had created for his guru. He really had love for his guru and a service spirit. Why, he saw his guru every morning going to the Gomati River. It was a long way to take his bath, and he thought, why should Guru Maharaj go so long? It takes him half an hour, he's a little elderly. Let me bring the Gomati River in his ashram. I'm Krishna, can do such things. So Krishna one morning approached Sandipani Muni, Burijan Prabhu has informed me, and said, Guru Maharaj, you don't need to walk now any longer. The Gomati is right here in your ashram. See this water? This is Gomati water. Sandipani Muni said, how can you say like this? It's a sacred river. Since immemorial time, it flows there. And you say it's in my ashram, in a pond here? Control your mind. Think about what you are saying. You know, he didn't know. He was a Shiva Bhakta. His bhakti flew to Shiva. Therefore, he could not recognize Krishna. No? You can only know Krishna by bhakti, yeah, by love. He had this. He was Shiva Bhakta, you know, so he could not. So he began to argue with Krishna. Krishna said, Guru Maharaj, I will give you a proof that this is Gomati. You take your bath like you are accustomed to do, and you place your kamandalu at the banks of Gomati. And afterwards, you come to Gomati Kund in your ashram, this little pond for bathing, which I've created for you, and you will find your kamandalu there, because I've brought Gomati into your ashram with the banks and with your kamandalu. Would you believe me then? Certainly. So Sandipani Muni the next day went, took his bath in the river. He placed his kamandalu on the banks, left it there, and went back to the ashram and to this small Kund with Gomati water. And there, on the banks of the Kund, he found his Kamandalu, Hare Krishna. So he had no reason to disbelieve that Krishna had brought the whole thing, Gomati with Kamandalu, everything there. It was a Tirtha, a pilgrimage. You can still see this Kund. You will be surprised. It is very beautiful. So Sandipani Muni, when he was asked whom he liked specially amongst his disciples, he said, these two, and his wife Agud, but I never see them working. And Sandipani Muni said, because they are so young and soft, I have instructed them not to do any hard work. Is my instruction. One day Sandipani Muni was absent. He had to do some consultation in some village nearby. And it was raining. No, it was not raining. It was... The rain clouds had appeared, like in Zurich. Have you seen yesterday? There was substantial rain. And here, still maybe rain clouds are there. So it was sure it would rain again. And his wife said, we need wood from the forest. And who of you wants to go? And they all said, Ma, the young boys, it will rain very heavily, we can see from the clouds. Then Krishna said, I will go. And she said, but my pati has said you should not do any hard work to carry all this hard work. Krishna smiled. But there's no one else who will get the wood because of the impending rain. It will be a real rain catastrophe. And the wife said, well, okay, we need to nourish that fire, that very long-term fire. So she said, okay, so Krishna took one friend with him. Who was that friend? Sudama, yes, a very nice Brahmin boy, very, very good character. And they went into the forest, when they were in the forest, this huge downpour of rain happened, and it became so bad that the whole area was flooded. They could find a little island on it, and there they stood, little boy shivering, and Krishna was not displaying his majestic potency. He was in a human-like leela, so he stood there, and there was Sudama, and they kept the bundle there. And Krishna said, "Let's not put the wood on the ground because then it will become so wet. Let's be under the tree." And they stood there, the little boys shivering under a tree, not willing to put down the wood on the floor because of Guru Seva, some tapasya. In the evening, Sandipani Muni came back and called his wife and said, "Where's the black one?" "Oh, I sent him. He insisted to go out and get the firewood. But I told you, he should not do any heavy work. It hurts my heart so much. And now it's rain. Who knows if he will survive at all?" Oh no, he was worried all night. He could not sleep. So in the morning he went with the whole ashram searching for Krishna. And you know, they found Krishna in the forest. He had not slept with Sudama, little boys tottering, but they had not put the wood down the whole night. His heart was melting. He thought, I love Shiva, but I love this boy more. You know, his Krishna, all attractive, you know, supremely attractive by his qualities. Here he shows Guru Seva like anything. My dear devotees, I'm looking all the time at the clock, and you know, I want to say too much more. I want to talk about Krishna's relationship with Sudama, but I will talk it when I come the next time to Zurich. Because today I need, is it time, is there? I want to make a point. Krishna here, after the narration of the Bhagavatam is technically finished, and after Parikshit is not yet satisfied, he says the real ear needs to hear about Krishna, then it's only real life. So Sukadev Goswami picks one of millions of Krishna katha. He is fully realized. Sukadev sees the pastimes of the Lord in the heart, and he just brings this one point. One should learn in a Gurukul, and Krishna himself showed this. Therefore, let me raise this point today to all of you. This is an ashram here, and it is so nice to see young men and young ladies in there. And I want to also say to those who are on the border, should I go or should I stay? You know, should I go into the ashram or should I stay in my life? I want to say, Krishna himself has shown that committed seva to the Guru is required. And this ashram Zurich is a seva ashram. Why do we keep this temple? We keep it as a missionary station of Srila Prabhupada, who had this great desire to spread Krishna consciousness in the Western world. And you are doing this in this temple in an exemplary way. I do know that your temple has most probably gone also through difficult times, for all of ISKCON went on its knees in the lockdown period and so on. But I really want to say this, make this point. Please keep this ashram not only alive, no, vibrant with life, no, with full attraction. And for this, we need intelligent young boys, and I see a few of them are here listening today to this class and thinking maybe also, should I stay or should I go? You know, and yes, this is definitely a question, and it is also a song. It can be, music can be put to this question, you know, so that it's more pleasing. The question. This is very nice point we should consider. Please, my dear devotees, when we come, Gaur Krishna, you must admit, when we come to Zurich, we feel in the spiritual world, in the temple. It's so beautifully kept, aesthetically so pleasing. The elephants are there in the temple. It is a nice pastel color, and so on, very cultured. We feel aesthetically pleased and we feel spiritually enlivened. It is such a wonderful ashram, and we want to support you with body, words and mind totally, because it's a very good place of Srila Prabhupada. Very nice temple building. How when you come and you see Hare Krishna temple, you already want to pay your obeisances, even though the ground is wet. It is so inspiring. Sometimes we don't see it when we are in an ashram. We see only the daily problems. Oh, who will go shopping today? Oh, I don't like to go shopping. Oh, but someone has to go shopping. Who will? And then the Lakshmi, we are so poor. We have nothing, and we need more, and we don't have in our pockets. Oh, Krishna, yes, we need to go a little begging now. and all these things, and then, on top of it, then there's politics, and someone says, something wild, and so on, and it becomes very disturbing to them, to the ears and the mind. I know, I'm one of you, I know. But to keep this in good working order, Krishna himself, you know, I come back to this shloka which the Lord spoke with his own limbs. He says, I, the soul of all beings, am not as satisfied by ritual worship, Brahminical initiation, penances, or self-discipline even, as I am by faithful service rendered to one's spiritual master. Hare Krishna. This was my little lecture. I'm not so... I didn't... You know, when I start to talk about Krishna, I like to talk and I forget the other points which I wanted to make. So I'm sorry I took all the time for, but I think we also sometimes need to hear about Krishna a little. Good. So I will end here. I will see if there are any questions which you would like to pose at this stage. Hare Krishna. Yes, I see two questions, two fingers raised. Yes, please. Please remind me of your good name. I know it. Manamani. Ja, natürlich. Manamani. Ja. Genau, genau.
So, Krishna and Balaram, they were the only Kshatriyas in the ashram, and how they were accepted?
Were Krishna and Balaram the only Kshatriyas in the ashram? And if they were, how were they accepted like this? Well, in ancient times, one could the guru in the Gurukulas, there were Brahmin, mostly Brahmin boys, but also some Kshatriyas who wanted to take that education. Vaishyas and Sudras were usually not in the ashram. So, if they were the only Kshatriyas at that time, I honestly don't know. I would have to go through the lists, go to Avanti and find out if there is a register where the students are all inscribed. Maybe it is existing, but 5,000 years back is maybe it's not existing. So I do not know. Sorry. Yes. Yes.
I wanted to ask you, and you can, maybe some people, they have questions. I mean, I know that they do have questions, like, how can I find God? Or how can I find a spiritual master? Like, how can I see that someone is my spiritual master? And how can I know that I'm ready for it? So, they can come here, but also the people with...
This could be a question, yes. Srila Prabhupada gave several answers, but I'm aware of one answer where he was asked this question, how can we recognize who is our spiritual master? And he said, it's that person who makes Krishna appear in your heart. He said only this sentence about it, and the way I understand it is that when you hear from your spiritual master, you become more Krishna conscious, and you become also inspired to serve Krishna. You know, because as we heard, whenever you see you have any contact with Krishna, your question is really, oh, I want to serve him. So when I remember when I met Srila, when I first came to Krishna when I came in contact with the devotees of Krishna, I immediately understood this contact is dangerous because I will maybe give up my material life, and I was very afraid of it. I was very attached to music, to, you know, what young people are attached to, very attached to things. And the devotee said, please join our temple. And I politely said, no, no. And I shook my head. I felt, you're so different. I'm so different from you. I speak only English. I don't know good English. I like also, but... And then I have to sleep on the floor. I can't imagine to do that. You know, I really was afraid of this life. I thought it's too austere. And then I have to follow authorities, me following authorities, impossible. I felt like this, you know. So I was very afraid. But then I thought, they're good, very good people. And I like Prabhupada very much. I feel what he says is really wonderful. So I decided I have to make a decision on this. So let me visit Prabhupada. Let me see him in life. Let me ask him a question also. And let me then make my decision if I will serve and move into the ashram. And I did so. I went to London where Prabhupada came. And I was very impressed by him right from the first moment. And I then surrendered a little conditionally. I said, for 1 year I surrender. And then I will review it, how everything is going on and so on. Let me try 1 year. And after 6 months, I knew this is it. I will just surrender, you know, and so on. So that was due to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada made us, he was so convincing. And the life which he presented was just, it did make a lot of sense, and therefore we all joined it. You know, a typical story, Bhakti Charu Maharaj found the nectar of devotion. It was given to him by a friend, and he read that non-stop. I mean, he stopped sometimes to sleep, but he didn't eat, he didn't do anything. He just read the book from cover to cover, and in this way decided. Then he had a dream. He had never seen Prabhupada, but he had a dream that he saw him sitting on a Vyasa sun, and in the dream he, who had just finished the book, paid his obeisances, accepting him as his eternal spiritual master. That was that. Story is representing many of Prabhupada's disciples' experience. It just touched the heart so much that you wanted to serve Krishna. And when you look now for a living spiritual master, or if you ask yourself, how will I recognize him? This should come in your heart. When I'm in connection with this person, and when I hear from him, mostly hear from him, I feel in my heart really so much conviction and security that I wish to serve Krishna. No? That should be the, you should look, when that feeling comes, then most properly that person is your spiritual master. Wait a little, because sometimes these feelings can also come and go. Wait for some time so that until you are absolutely sure that it's not a passing emotion which comes and goes, but it is a growing conviction and something stable. And then you can move forward in that direction. Good. Mm-hmm. Yes. Thank you very much. Any other question? You look at me, I look at you. Madan Mohan?
I was thinking, what is for today's time the best way? Thank you. I'm thinking, are there periods where a certain preaching is effective, and maybe after some time another version is maybe more effective for the current time? I can see myself sometimes a bit reserved in the outside world to share that I'm a Hare Krishna, and might share that I'm doing mantra meditation, I'm a vegetarian, I'm going in soft steps towards it, and often I can see at one point I come to the point that I share that I'm actually
a devotee.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes I get very good reactions, and sometimes I get this, I have some experience with this or that. And I'm wondering, what do you see at the moment for us, the way how we should reach out to the people in a way that doesn't trigger negative emotions, but positive emotions?
You know, this aha is, I also have this, you know, I'm always dressed like this, but when I'm flying on the airport, and you know, my neighbor is there, and he wants to know, what are you? They ask, I'm a monk. Oh, very interesting. They have heard about Buddhism, and immediately that comes to mind. And when you talk, and then you talk, and I also am sometimes hesitant to just say Hare Krishna, because our history, let's face it, Prabhus, is not the best. At best, they think they are the happy clappers in the hands, you know. Go. That's the best opinion. No, I'm saying this based on a research which a marketing firm did. They wanted to, in London, the devotees wanted to find how should we present ourselves now, you know. So the marketing firm first made a huge, it took them years, it was really a lot of money which went into that, to find out what do people currently think about the Hare Krishnas. And the best is the happy clappers. I won't tell you what comes under this, you know, because it's just so... I yesterday was in Langenthal, and there was one devotee I heard who had distributed prasadam, but even when the people didn't want it, he just somehow pushed it on the people. And now the people of Langenthal say, Hare Krishna, yes, we have met, we know already, thank you very much, So we have this, because we are so convinced of our thing, that it is extremely convincing when once you listen to it and you do it, wow, it is, my God, this is true. You find it out. Anyone can, when man sich einlässt. I also, when I saw the devotees, I thought, they don't fit into society. We have, in Hamburg, we have a word, we say, die kommen vom Mars. you know, they come from they are Martians. They come from Mars planet because they dress different and then they smile. I had, you know, I did programs. We did kirtan in the program, and it was a wonderful kirtan, and the devotees smiled at each other. In the audience, there was a very, very rich person who said, innocently, he asked one of the people who had requested him, invited him, they are all gay, no? Because the men were smiling at each other, just very happy, you know. But it doesn't mean that. It means the kirtan is good, you know. So, but they couldn't understand this fully because it's different. We eat different food. We are just different. Don't you think this will have an effect on you to live such a different life? Where do you find such a lifestyle? They're so different. When we greet each other, we fall on the ground, you know. It's so different. It is very different. I always like different things. I think that the more different, the better. But not everyone is like that. So yes, when you want to help people understand, you must be relevant and relatable. Those who want to preach, write down these two words. You must be relevant for a person's life. Relevant sein, you know. The people must see this is important for me. It's relevant for me, no? And it must be relatable. Relatable means I am able to understand it and thus I can relate to it. I can also go, and that is a great, that is the challenge. And there are many outreach programs. I know, for instance, in the Bhakti Center, they have offered yoga, meditation, because that people are so disturbed today. They want something that makes them more peaceful inside. Therefore, a new person who comes to a loud kirtan of ours, he's already wired up, and therefore maybe meditate with it. They appreciate more. Some devotees also appreciate more because they I need to connect with Krishna. I need to feel Krishna, and so on. So, but you write this with a big B, a big U, and a big T. There is another consideration. Remember when we had this wonderful last evening in the Bhakti retreat, and His Holiness Kadamba Kanana Maharaj spoke about the preachings of Bhakti Charu Maharaj, how he went to Amsterdam, where God is a bad word now, you know, and he had a hall full of people and said, only spoke about love of God and and worship God, and in the end asked them to fold their hands and pray to God, you know. And Kanana Maharaj was going, we have this hall now, everyone will hate us. And when he looked, he saw they were all praying to God because purity is a force. When someone is pure, one is interested and hears from him. Therefore, don't forget this big but, B-O-T. Yes, so I think you need to be a little bit intelligent. It requires intelligence, Madam Mohan. When do you better go meditation, yoga, blah, 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 in our language, you know, was du, and so on. And first introduce them with introductory subjects, matters. And you need to also see, who am I? How can I preach? You may you know, what works with me when I think, when if any one of us says to an audience, of we call it a cold audience, now every one of you take your hands and pray from your heart, people would run out of the door, you know. But not when Bhakti Charu Maharaj does this. So you are somewhere in between, you know. You are also pure, but you have to see how I can preach best. I myself have to be honest. I will dress always like this. It's me. I feel by now naked. I have also trousers, but I. I feel not good, and it's just because I'm accustomed to this dress. It's a cultural thing. Over the years, but when I talk like a monk. I talk things which I know they can understand. I quote also people they respect. Maybe C.G. Jung is always good to quote. You know, he has. And so on, and then people listen, and then when I feel they are ready, then I say, I'm actually a devotee of Krishna, and I make it like flowing. I don't say, okay, now I need to out myself, you know, I'm telling you now, I'm a Hare Krishna. Not like this, it should flow naturally, you know. And it works. But I also know from preachers that sometimes they can't send people to certain temples. Don't worry, we can all go to the Zurich temple, everyone can come. But there are some temples which are just Hare Krishna, you know, where they're and we have. I will not speak about countries and towns now because this would hurt the devotees who are in these temples. They try their best, but they have not learned to be able to communicate with people who are coming. They need to still learn this. They will learn in 1 month, 2 months, hopefully, you know. So. Anutama, I think, tells the story that in Dallas there is a restaurant and there is a person who comes already since 30 years or so to the restaurant. And now just next to the restaurant is the temple. Listen to this. So one time a devotee said, you come to the restaurant. Yeah, I like very much. And I see you also, you come into the temple, I like very much. And I see you pray to the deity, yes. And have you ever thought to become a devotee? The person said, yes, very much. I've been asked many times, but my answer is never. Because when I go to your restaurant, I'm worshipped almost. They think they preach to me. They're very kind to me. But when I'm in the temple, then all of a sudden I'm back to Joe, and I have to do the things I don't want to do. Anutama probably tells the story. As far, I think it was him. Maybe. I think it was him who told me. Yeah. By the way, my dear devotees, going out on street Sankirtan, although it is sometimes a shocking method, it creates a lot of deep interest. I still think after all these years where we have done many outreach programs, we have even invited pop stars to present in our programs, like Boy George, you know, he's not a typical Brahmacharya. and doing many things. I think both needs to be there, because some really appreciate. Some are in the evolution like this, also a little revolutionary. They don't mind if some people are a little outside of the society, because no one thinks the material society has the answers. People know it has deep, deep problems. Whenever something happens, like a virus or anything, and you see how the society, the governments react to it, you just feel something is not thought through here. You know, you know. And there are many intelligent people who see like this. So therefore, going in dhotis and doing harinam is very good. You just have to do, when you're in contact with the people, be a little friendly to them. Just that little thing, to make a little bridge. And then there should be those who preach through vastu and astrology and so on and so forth. And it is not necessarily a question of purity, do I preach through? It's just the way how you are, you know. It has not, I've brought in the question of purity, but that's not the only criterion. It's just how you are. We need all types of preaching programs. Not that one should, but I think this Harinam, really, so many people, and as the times get tougher, and it, we hear it's Kali Yuga, which increases, people will appreciate sitting there getting some peace. But then when those who go on Harinam, they should maybe learn how to play the instruments nicely, so that it's that no one has to go, you know. Lifeless. Hare Krishna. Good, my dear devotees, time is there. Today we can really try to put everything into this last part into action. We have many guests which we expect. We are cooking in the kitchen extra portions of prasadam for them, that they can take feel happy here in our temple. We should nicely welcome them and take care that their time here in the temple is the best time in the week for them, and in this way do all this. Good. So all the best, and very happy to be with you. Hare Krishna. Amen.